Shalom, everyone. This Tammuz, this 14th of Tammuz, we will be commemorating, I believe, the 35th Yahrzeit of Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Hagaon Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of Ner Yisrael, a person that many of us, at least the older Talmidim, call the Rebbe, or Rebbe. And it's been a long time. It's been more than half of my life that I have not had the connection to the Rosh Yeshiva. And of course, there were years before I got to Ner Yisrael as well. And I think of the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that when Rav was Nifter, the Talmidim ripped Kriya. And then when they're coming back from the Levaya, there was some Shaila, they were sitting by a river. The Shaila was there a Tzirah for Birkas HaMazayin? Were they considered to be one Kaviyas? And they didn't know. And they wanted to ask Rav what the halacha was. And then they realized that Rav is not around to ask. And they ripped Kriya a second time. Because they said, our Rebbe has left us. And we don't even know the halachas of Birchas HaMazon, what we could have learned from him. And I know that I feel, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all of the Talmidim, feel that our Rebbe left us, and there was so much we could have learned. We didn't take advantage of a gadol b'tayra, of a tzaddik, of a person who did teach us so much, and if we would have been zeicha, we could have taken much more than whatever it was that he was taken. So in some ways, rip kriya again over the fact that we did not take advantage of the great treasure that we had. Rav Yashiv, Zichrono Livracha, said shortly before his death that the central Aveda of our door is to fulfill the directive of Yahavta Eis Hashem Alekecha, which the Gemara in Yuma darshens, to make the name of Hashem beloved in the eyes of others. That one should look at a Ben Torah, one should look at a Talmud Chacham, one should look at a person who is trying to keep mitzvahs. That this is a beautiful person. Kamen noyim masav, how beautiful are his actions. And whether the observer becomes firm or not, he sees and he's margish the goodness of Torah, the sweetness of Torah, the nobility of following the way of Hashem. And when I think of my Rosh Yeshiva, our Rosh Yeshiva, one of the thoughts that I think most often is how in every single pu'ula, in every single action, he made the shame of Hashem misoyev al yaday. When I look at my chaverim, when I look at the dairas of Bnei Yeshiva that came before me, when I look at the many talmidim that came after me, and I look at what Ner Yisrael produced, I have a tremendous feeling of pride. I see Marbitzei Torah, I see Rashi Yeshiva, I see Rabbanim, I see Rabbeim. I see professionals who are lawyers, doctors, accountants, business people. All of them having a sense of achrayas for Klal Yisrael. All of them, koveya itum l'tayra, and many often give shiurim in their communities. All of them are involved in being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And B'derech Klal, all of them establish homes that are miyusad on shalom bayis, with love and care between spouses and between parents and children. And without boasting too much about our dearly beloved yeshiva, this is what Ner Yisrael produced. And all that is good about Ner Yisrael comes from the vision, from the yesod, from the shayrish that was planted by the Rosh Yeshiva, Zichrono Livracha. There's a medrash that says that the beauty of a garden lies in the fact that there are many different types of flowers. A garden with one type of flower, just roses, is not as beautiful as a garden that has many, many different types of flowers. The Rosh Yeshiva understood that every person is unique, every person is an Eilam Malay. That when Shlomo HaMelech said, Chaneich l'nar al pi darkei, everybody has their derech. And he founded a yeshiva that was predicated on recognizing the individuality of each person. He hired Rebbeim, who sometimes had different derechim in learning, and even in hashgava, than he did. Because he wanted his Talmidim, it was not a question of proprietorship, that they had to be made in his image, b'davka. He wanted his Talmidim to be exposed to many, many different drachim, many, many different mahalchim, to see the richness of Torah, the mesikas of Torah, the derech that is best for them. And that's not an easy thing to do. Every person wants to make his maysad in his image. But his image was an image that by definition included many, many different mahalchim. Chaneich l'nar al pi darkei was a hallmark of the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha, a hallmark of Nei Yisrael, a distinguishing characteristic that exists to this very day. The Rosh Yeshiva connected us to a world which we otherwise would not have known. The world of the altar of Slobodka, to whom he was literally like a son. In fact, they tell the Maisa that once the Rosh Yeshiva was at the altar's home, and Rav Lezer Yudel, Zichrono Livracha, who later became the great Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, first in Europe and then in Eretz Yisrael, came home from his yeshiva, and he hadn't seen his father for a long time, and the altar kept on talking to the Rosh Yeshiva. And when the altar's Rebbetzin said, "Why don't you greet your son? Your son has come home." And the altar said, "This too is my son," speaking about the Rosh Yeshiva. "I'm speaking with this son right now." And the Rosh Yeshiva connected to that world. Number one, he himself was a Rebbe like that. And their altar was meforsam for seeing the individuality and uniqueness and the difference of every single type of bachur. Chaneich l'nar al pi darkei. And the Rosh Yeshiva absorbed that. He conveyed that. He connected us to the world of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, to the world of the Or Sameach, to the world of Rav Isser Zalman, the Eben Oeza, to Rav Chanan Wasserman, to Rav Chaim Eiser. He would tell us stories. He would tell us hashkafas. He would give us experiences. And I have to say that I know I felt, and I know many Talmidim felt, that we mamish knew these people. In the Rosh Yeshiva's office, I believe it's still there. I haven't been there lately. There's a beautiful, beautiful picture of Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, with his huge, big, piercing eyes. When you walk in and you're next to that picture, you feel that Rav Chaim himself is looking down at you. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha once told me that when he was 9 years old, he was zeicha to meet Rav Chaim. Because he was an Eloi, and Rav Chaim gave him a bracha. And in the middle of this conversation, somebody came in, a chashev Rav, had to talk to Rav Chaim about something private. And the Rosh Yeshiva, as a little boy, was going to leave. Rav Chaim said, "You could stay." And the Rosh Yeshiva said, what he heard Rav Chaim say when he was only a 9-year-old boy gave him lessons in hadracha, in how to run a yeshiva, 50, 60, 70 years later. They say with the Or Sameach, another maysa, that may or may not be true, that the Rosh Yeshiva we know had very bad eyesight, and some say his eyes were damaged, because he only had access to the Sefer Or Sameach when it came out, only for one night. He had to give it back, and he spent the whole night learning the Sefer by the light of the moon. Who knows if that maisa is totally accurate? But as they say about the Chafetz Chaim, they don't say such maisim about you or me. So the fact that they say such a maisa says something. So when I think of my Rebbe, my dear beloved Rebbe, Rabban Shel Yisrael, I see a person who is a gadol b'Torah mamish, a person whose greatest joy was learning Torah, was teaching Torah. He wrote a wonderful sefer, Avodas Halevi on Kachrim, one of the great, great svarim. And yet, he didn't do that much writing later, and he said, because he's writing on the hearts of his talmidim. And he felt that the achrayas and the chiyuvim of teaching Torah and molding midas were so important that even other things that were great and chaviv to him, he put aside. When the Gemara says, if a rav is daimel l'malach Hashem tzavakais, if a rav is like a malach, you can learn from him. And if a rav is not like a malach, you cannot learn from him. The Rosh Yeshiva explained that what it means is, Chazal say, a malach can only do one shlichus. A malach cannot do more than one shlichus. A Rebbe has to be so masur to his talmidim that that is his only shlichus. And then you can learn from him. If he's involved in things other than his talmidim, he's not a malach Hashem tzavakais. And the Rosh Yeshiva also used to say, why do Chazal say talmidim are called banim, are called children? Because just as a father is a father, even when the child is no longer with the father, the child is no longer at home, a talmid is a talmid, even when he's no longer physically in the yeshiva. If you were a talmid, you were a talmid for life. The Rosh Yeshiva cared, first and foremost, about how much are you learning, no matter how rich you were or well-established you were. Where are you holding? What's learned to? He was interested in our spouses, in our families, in our children, in our contribution to our Batzas Torah and Kiddush Hashem. He was a person who cared deeply. I remember once I was visiting with other Bachrim, visiting the Rosh Yeshiva Friday night, and I didn't have a coat. But, you know, again, how far is it from the Rosh Yeshiva's house to the dormitory or the Beis Medrash? Not too far. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva didn't want me to walk in the cold, even a short distance. He gave me his coat. He actually gave me his overcoat. And I think I remember finding in the pocket a letter from a Chaim Eiser or something, kind of, you know, a very, very interesting little souvenir. I didn't read it, but just to walk around with the Rosh Yeshiva's coat and a letter of Rav Chaim Eiser gave me a certain oomph that I still feel to this very day. One has to remember that Ner Yisrael was founded, whether Cleveland, New Haven, but the Ner Yisrael of Baltimore that we are familiar with, was founded in the middle of the Depression, 1933. At a time when, number one, the idea of Torah study was not that accepted in America. For Hashem, there was Yitzhak Ochanan, there was Torah Vadas, but certainly outside of New York, the idea of Torah was not that makubal. And number two, it's the middle of a depression. Where did they get money in the middle of a depression? And the yeshiva started with only four talmidim. The Rosh Yeshiva was the Rav of a Beis Knesset Tiferes Yisrael. That was kind of his parnasa. And he started yeshiva with four Talmidim. And he and his wonderful revered Rebbetzin, Zichrono Livracha, worked so hard to get food for the boys, places for the boys to stay. This is even before Ner Yisrael was blessed with the phenomenal Rav Naftali Neuberger, Zecher, Tzadik V'Kadosh Libracha, the Rosh Yeshiva's brother-in-law. But the Rosh Yeshiva used to say that there were a few years where he didn't even have the tremendous assistance of Rabbi Neuberger. And many people thought, Chashav HaRabbanim thought, that the Rosh Yeshiva was perhaps a little, well, maybe crazy is not the right word, but, you know, in the middle of a depression, you're starting a yeshiva in America. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, again, quoting Rabbi Saul Salanter, he says, it's my achrayas to do what I can do. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's achrayas to determine whether it'll be success or not. My decisions are not based on success. My decisions are based on what is my achrayas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Klal Yisrael, to be Marbitz Taira. And when he was walking with Rav Schwab, Zichrono Lebracha, and he looked at a building and he said, oh, that would be a nice building for the yeshiva, and it was a very big building. Rav Schwab looked a little incredulous. I mean, there's only like a few boys in the yeshiva. This is a building for 50, 60, 100 boys. And the yeshiva looked at him and said, do you think we're not going to have a yeshiva that will have hundreds and hundreds of talmidim? He saw the nailat, he saw the future, he saw the potential in a midbar. And he would tell even his early talmidim, do you think an American bachar was created differently than a European bachar? Do you think God made two types of people, European Jews and American Jews? If a European boy could grow up to be Gadol B'Torah, there is no reason why an American boy cannot grow up to be a Gadol B'Torah. So we had this Gadol. He had faith in us. He gave us strength. He gave us confidence. He made us feel that we were part of a Messiah. Dr. Akiva used to even boast a little bit, but it was really for chinuch purposes, that he was a fifth generation musmach from the Vilna Gaon. That the Vilna Gaon gave smicha to Rav Abba Lapasaveler, who was a dayan in Vilna, and Rav Abba gave smicha to Rav Eisel Lecharef, and Rav Eisel Lecharef gave smicha to Rav Meir Atlas, Rav Chanan Wasserman's father-in-law, and the Rosh Yeshiva was a musmach of Rav Meir Atlas, and he said, therefore, he is a fifth generation from the Vilna Gaon, and we, therefore, are a sixth generation from the Vilna Gaon. He gave us pride. He gave us confidence. He made us understand, again, based on the altar of the godless Ha'adam, what we're capable of becoming. And if we're capable of becoming great, we have an achrayas to become great. And he was an example of a person who was sholeit b'chala tayrakula bavli Yerushalmi, halacha l'maisa shelus u'tshuvas. Everything. In fact, they say when he was older, he was bitzar a little bit. He said, ay, 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 with my medicine, I'm forgetting some of my learning. So a bachar asked him, oh, does the Rebbe not remember every taisus and shas? And Rebbe Ritterman got a little agitated. He said, chas v'shalom, what are you talking about? A taisus and shas? That I would never forget. I forgot some of the pilpul in my teretz for a shver Rambam. I don't remember all of the links. Taisus and Shas, Chas v'Shalom. And the Bachar who said the story said, I realized then that to forget a Taisus and Shas was impossible. It was unthinkable. It could never happen in a million years. And that's kind of a musr for what we have to try to become as well. They tell the story again. I can't vouch for the story. That's true. That, as I said, the Rosh Yeshiva had very poor eyesight. And there were times in which he was ordered by his doctors not to learn in Svarim because a strain on his eyes. And he was being examined by the great eye doctor, the great tzaddik, and Talmud Chacham in his own right, Dr. Askovitz, Zichrono Livracha. And Dr. Askovitz said, you really shouldn't be reading right now, you need to rest your eyes. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, I can read fine, I don't have any problems. And Dr. Askovitz, who again was a Talmud Chacham in his own right, took out a Gemara, told the Rosh Yeshiva, read this stuff. And the Rosh Yeshiva read the first stuff of Maseches Kedushin by heart. And he said to Dr. I'm sorry, he read it from the Gemara, supposedly. And when he said to Dr. Askovitz, you see, I can read the Gemara perfectly. Dr. Askovitz says, well, you read Kedushin perfectly, I gave you Maseches Kitten. Again, Shailait, B'chala Terekul. I still remember when he would come to the Beis Medrash at night for night Seder. He would be sitting, he would be learning by himself. People would ask him questions, but by and large, he would be just learning Gemara by himself. And I still remember he was turning the pages, Lahavdil, the way people turn novels. Page. He must have done, I don't know, 50, 60 dafim in an hour. Quick chazara. So he was Shakua Raishai Varubai in Torah. He mastered Torah. Torah was his delight. Torah was his pleasure. And Torah is what he wanted to convey to us, that we should have pleasure in the Torah. He would often quote the famous Egletal, that people think learning Torah with sweetness is somehow a chisaron in lishma, because you're not doing it to serve Hashem. And the Egletal says the other way around. The whole mitzvah is to be nana from the mesikas of Torah. This is what he tried to teach us. But in addition to his shalita b'chala Torah kula, he was a Rebbe in Midas. He was a Rebbe in Shalom Bayis. The relationship he had with his Rebbetzin was a beautiful relationship. She was a very, very devoted person. She was a great tzaddikess, certainly in the early years of the yeshiva. She mamish worked yayimim v'layla, so Talmidim would have food. But she was a lively and interesting person. And sometimes in later years, when Buckland would come over and they would just talk to the Rosh Yeshiva and they wouldn't acknowledge her, she would give us mussar and say, you know, a person should say hello to the Rebbetzin of the home as well. And the Rosh Yeshiva would smile and say, the Rebbetzin is gerecht. The Rebbetzin is correct. The relationship between the Rosh Yeshiva and his Rebbetzin, the relationship of love, of respect, is something that we also learned. I am told that one time when the Rosh Yeshiva was in Eretz Yisrael, a group of women, of Kailo women, wanted to meet with him, strange meeting, and they wanted to express their gratitude because he taught their husbands how to be good husbands with their wives. He taught by example. He didn't necessarily give that many shmuzin about it. But you understood. This is what a Ben Torah is. A Ben Torah is not somebody who ignores his family. A Ben Torah is not somebody who doesn't pay attention to his wife. Husband and wife are a team. And as Chazal say, Ayava Kagufa. One must love one's wife as they love himself. Mechabde Yaiser Migufa. And this we saw in the Rosh Hashiva. So we saw Torah, we saw Shalom Bayis, we saw Midos Tovos. We saw a sense of acharayas for Klal Yisrael. Again, based on Rav Chaim Volozhiner, we were not created for ourselves. We were created to give. We were created to share. And a person cannot be machzik his Torah to himself. When it says in Pirkei Avos, Al tachzik taiva liatzmecha ki lechach netzarta. So instead of the simple pshat, don't give yourself credit, Rav Chaim Volozhiner learns, don't keep it to yourself, because you were created to share. That is why there is no accident that in the world of Kiruv Rechaikin, Nei Yisrael Talmidim are so prominent. This is what we absorbed. We absorbed the idea of Achrayas for Klal Yisrael. It came from all of our Rebbeim, but again, the Rebbeim themselves were hired based on the Rosh Yeshiva's Hashgafas and the Yesedis by which he created the yeshiva. So, like my wife tells me, she was not zeichet to see the Rosh Yeshiva that many times. We were married shortly before his Patira. But whenever she saw the Rosh Yeshiva at a bris, whenever she was in his proximity, she began to cry. She was margisha, the Shekhinah, the Kedusha that existed in him. And in truth, even we Talmidim didn't take it for granted. Rosh Yeshiva was loving, he was caring, he was full of maisim and chizuk and musar. But we had a certain yira for him, a certain awe. Not fear, but awe, reverence. We knew we were dealing with a gadol from a different door. A gadol who was connected to Rav Chaim and Rav Ochanan and Rav and the Or Sameach and Rav Moshe Mordechai and Rav Yisra Zalman and most of all, of course, the Alter of Slobodka. We knew that he was not of our generation, so to speak. But Hashem in his chesed let one of the last neshamas of that Dordea come to a land of darkness, a land of ignorance, in the middle of a depression, and start the magnificent Makom Torah that Neri Yisrael was, and that Neri Yisrael became. So in truth, as the years go by, more and more, I appreciate what the Rosh Yeshiva gave us and what the Rosh Yeshiva created. He was Raya Es Hanaylet in so many ways. He saw that Torah could flourish even in America. He created avenues that even people who would be in the working world would be able to become B'nai Torah. In various ways he did this. He saw the needs of the generation for Kiruv. And by the way, it's not just Kiruv outside of Neri Yisrael. Neri Yisrael itself gets involved with NCSY in the sports camps and groups from South America. And then years ago from Iran, again together with Rav Neuberger, Zichrono Livracha, the notion of bringing in different kehilos, different groupings, different backgrounds. People who were not necessarily B'nai Yeshiva naturally, but they were brought in. This was his vision. This was his understanding. And the older I get, and the more years it is since I last saw the Rosh Yeshiva, the more I appreciate his greatness, his uniqueness. Chazal say that a person is not oimed on his das of his Rebbe until 40 years. It's not quite 40 years. We're approaching it. And obviously, every single Talmud of the yeshiva right now never knew Rav Ruderman. But rest assured that everything you are, everything you will become because of Neri Yisrael is because of the seeds that he planted. Yehi Zichrei Baruch. And may all of our learning and all of our Avodah and all that the yeshiva accomplishes continue to be the Ilui Neshama for one of the great, great, great Gedolim of our door. Thank you.